Good morning, Symphony. Today's passage is Acts chapter 18. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth, and he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome, and he went to see them. And because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for they were tent makers by trade. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and tried to persuade Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy arrived from Macedonia, Paul was occupied with the word, testifying to the Jews that the Christ was Jesus. And when they opposed and reviled him, he shook out his garments and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am innocent. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." And he left there and went to the house of a man named Titius Justus, a worshipper of God. His house was next door to the synagogue. Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord, together with his entire household. And many of the Corinthians, hearing Paul, believed and were baptized. And the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, "Do not be afraid, but go on speaking, and do not be silent. For I am with you, and no one will attack you to harm you. For I have many in the city who are my people." And he stayed a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. But when Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews made a united attack on Paul and brought him before the tribunal, saying, "This man is persuading people to worship God contrary to the law." But when Paul was about to open his mouth, Gallio said to the Jews, "If it were a matter of wrongdoing or vicious crime, O Jews, I would have reason to accept your complaint. But since it is a matter of questions about words and names and your own law, see to it yourselves. I refuse to be a judge of these things." And he drove them from the tribunal. And they all seized Sosthenes, the ruler of the synagogue, and beat him in front of the tribunal. But Gallio paid no attention to any of this. After this, Paul stayed many days longer and then took leave of the brothers and set sail for Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila. At Cenchreae he had cut his hair, for he was under a vow, and they came to Ephesus, and he left them there. But he himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to stay for a longer period, he declined. But on taking leave of them, he said, "I will return to you if God wills," and he set sail from Ephesus. When he had landed at Caesarea, he went up and greeted the church and then went down to Antioch. After spending some time there, he departed and went from one place to the next through the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Now, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord. And being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he wished to cross to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. When he arrived, he greatly helped those who through grace had believed, for he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the scriptures that the Christ was Jesus. Amen. In today's chapter, we see Paul continue on in his second missionary journey, and amazing things happen in the two locations we see in today's chapter. First, Corinth. He visits Corinth and meets a couple named Aquila and Priscilla, fellow tent makers by trade, and we'll circle back to this couple in a little bit. Paul once again was facing opposition to the gospel. It says in verse 6 that the Jews opposed and reviled him. Paul responds, "Your blood be on your own hands. I am innocent. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." But one night, the Lord said to Paul in a vision, "Do not be afraid, but go on speaking and do not be silent. For I am with you, and no one will attack you to harm you. For I have many in the city who are my people." This is amazing because we really do see the Lord's promise come to fruition. Paul stayed in Corinth for a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them, and many Corinthians believed and were baptized. And when Paul was brought to trial with complaints and accusations from the Jews, God protected him, and the proconsul not only dismissed him, but the accuser himself, the ruler of the synagogue, was beat instead. And there was also that assurance when God said, "For I have many in the city who are my people." Again, Paul met Priscilla and Aquila. I imagine they connected over their same trade, and I wish I can eavesdrop on their conversations about faith and being a light for God in their line. And verse 7 shows that Paul was housed by Titius Justus, a worshiper of God who lived right next door to the synagogue. And there's Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, whose whole family believed, and I'm sure countless others that were not even mentioned. God said, "For I have many in the city who are my people." This past weekend, I was able to attend Unite Boston's Again I Say Rejoice gathering, where they invited Christian musicians to perform and sing about God's goodness. There were people from dozens of churches and backgrounds who came out to worship, and it was an amazing reminder that we are not alone and that there are others contending to see God's kingdom come here in the city of Boston. Now, with that said, perhaps sometimes you feel like you may be the only Christian in your workplace or on your campus, or even your family. It may be hard to stand firm in your faith, or perhaps you've tried to share the gospel to a friend or colleague to only be met with apathy or shrugs of the shoulder. May we be encouraged by this word this morning as the Lord says, "Do not be afraid, but go on speaking and do not be silent, for I am with you. And no one will attack you to harm you, for I have many in the city who are my people." I attended last year's Boston Flourish, which was an event for Christians across various industries and fields to come together to connect and dream of what our city can look like with united efforts from Christians bringing transformation to our city. We have another one coming up next month, and I highly recommend you come to it. It was incredibly inspiring and gave me greater perspective of how God is working in our mission field here in Boston at large. Now, city number 2, Ephesus. After his 18 months in Corinth, he brings Priscilla and Aquila with him to head home back to Antioch, but they make a pit stop at Ephesus where Paul continues to preach. And the Ephesians, they ask him to stay longer, but Paul declines and says, "I will return to you if God wills," and he leaves. And little did the Ephesians know, or Paul know, that Paul would later return to Ephesus for much longer, as we'll see in the next chapter, and that would ultimately give birth to the gospel movement in Asia. But for now, Paul heads home and leaves Priscilla and Aquila, who meet a Jew named Apollos, and he, as people would say, is an intellect. He's from Alexandria, which is a center of education, and here he is in Ephesus, preaching and speaking boldly and being fervent in spirit. He knew the Old Testament, but was unfamiliar with the fulfillment of the scriptures through Jesus. So here Priscilla and Aquila, they take him aside and teach him the way of God more accurately. With this, two things really stand out to me. One, I think that Apollos had a teachable heart. Usually those with great knowledge and skilled in speech and intellect, they tend to rely on their intellect. But here we see Apollos listening and learning as he was taught and encouraged by Priscilla and Aquila. Two, what were Priscilla and Aquila's trade again? They were tent makers. It was tent makers that taught this man. Imagine something like a construction worker teaching a PhD professor. But this is how God's kingdom is like. Each person is empowered by the Holy Spirit, regardless of their background or standing in society, and they are all used to bring heaven on earth. And we really see the fruit of that. Apollos, verse 27 to 28, says that he greatly helped those who through grace had believed, for he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the scriptures that the Christ was Jesus. I remember when I was in seminary, people at church would direct questions to me and would ask me to lead discussions about faith. But it's not my education of being a seminary student that qualified me by any means. Actually, a couple weeks ago, I was recently blessed when I visited one of my Tufts family groups. A student pointed out a verse from her passage, and she was just sharing her thoughts about it, and I'd never had that revelation before, although I had read that same exact passage dozens of times, and I was so blessed to have received that revelation that evening. Now, I'm not sure who you may be relating to more from today's passage, but with that, let's commit this day to God, to be used by Him in His grace and mercy. And so let us be like Apollos, teachable and humble to learn from fellow brothers and sisters. Let us be like Priscilla and Aquila, who spoke truth. And let us be like Paul, who clung onto the promises of God, who persevered in sharing the word and gave his life in obedience. Let's pray. Yes, God, we thank you for this word. And I pray, God, that today that you would just give us a greater resolve to live for you. I pray that you would lead us, Lord. Help us to be united in our faith, God, as we interact with other brothers and sisters from outside of Symphony, from within, as we interact with many, many people that do not know you yet, God. We pray that you would use us, Lord, in your mercy to be truly your hands and feet, to be able to share of your good love and your good news. So we thank you, Lord. We love you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.